Blog Talk Radio.
Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb in the white of snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Holler back, damn it. It's Reese on the Radio on this Thursday, March the 15th, 2012. Welcome to the show. The number is 347-308-8701. We are live. We are, as always, live. Big announcement coming up tomorrow. I don't know exactly how we're going to do the announcement, but I'm still working on that. Don't forget, of course, tomorrow, Friday, we are also going to be doing the Reese on the Radio 5-Minute Dance Party, but we're extending it. We've extended the 5-minute dance party to the 15-minute dance party. You'll see what I mean. It's 15 minutes of my favorite songs all mixed together for you, my little DJ experiment, if you will. I'll call myself DJ Reese. No, I'm not going to. It's not going to happen. I might go back to my old name, Crossover, on this one. I like that Crossover because, you know, it identifies with the Crossfader, DJ lingo, if you will. Crossover, I actually loved Cross from one, and I loved the name Crossover Negro Reese. I will admit that. Crossover Negro Reese, I think, was a little drawn out, which is, of course, when I was with Star and Buck Wild, got reduced to Crossover, and Crossover became my nickname. I was happy that people didn't take the word Crossover and attribute it to basketball playing, because that would be ridiculous, because I couldn't play basketball to save my life. My mother had a great saying about how tall I was and how horrible I was at basketball. She said I was like a two-story house without stairs. I was useless. I couldn't play basketball and can't play basketball. I can't rebound. I can't jump. I got a 2-inch, maybe 2.5-inch vertical. That's about it. I have some sad news for you today. What is that sad news? Well, sad news, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Reese on the Radio. There's no big news. Today is a boring news day. Well, relax. It's Thursday. It's Therapy Thursday. Right? That's still pretty cool. I mean, can't we still have some fun? Can't we still have a little bit of fun? It's Thursday. Let's have a little fun. Oh, that's better. Better. See, this is what I want to do this Thursday. It's just a focus. Oh, right. I'm going to have to calm down. Knock it off. JC, this is what I want to do from now on. I know I said this a couple of weeks ago. I think we need to stick to it. We'll do Therapy Thursday, but let's do, can we find some sort of, like, term we can call, we could have Therapy Thursday, and, you know, that'll be, like, our little benchmark for Thursday, but we have to have something that we can call, like, for entertainment. What's a good thing that we can call? Let's come up with a name right here. Like, what would be a good name for Therapy, like Entertainment Thursday? Like, what could we... We need to have like a, see, Therapy and Thursday, that's the reason why I called it that, Therapy Thursday. It worked. So is there something we can we can do that sort of has that same sort of feel? I don't know if he's there. He should be.
But I was going to say, but considering everything that's going on in entertainment news, maybe we need to perform a little bit of therapy.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, we'll call it therapy.
I'm just speaking of current news, but as far as coming up with a name, give us a little time on that one.
Okay, because I was thinking,
I'm going pretty good with stuff like
that. I can stick with Therapy Thursday where I can still talk about my personal problems, and we can also expound our own little therapy
We'll add something to it in either the beginning or the end. We'll come up with something.
I think would be somewhat entertaining. Because I think we need to do entertainment news. When days like Wednesdays are boring, I don't want to talk about Obama's speech at a community college on gas prices. That was boring today. I listened to all of stuff the whole time I was listening to this guy.
You dumbass.
That's all I was thinking the whole time. Absolutely.
That's all that went on the news.
Well, it was so hard.
Except for the state of Connecticut, but
it was just it's one of those days where you actually, when you're in the news business and you're in the current event business, a day like today can be damaging to you because you're really fishing for it. Like, people are going to turn the damn channel if you don't have good news, good entertaining stuff to talk about. So I figured entertainment was great because there's a lot of great entertainment stories today. And one of the ones I want to talk about is some real, real nastiness going on. And we'll get into that into a little bit. And you know this story. I have to talk about it because it was – when I read it, I didn't exactly know how to respond. It's the Bobby Christina story, and we'll get into that. That whole story. I'm sure you have some interesting point of view on that. So we'll get into that.
Yeah.
I want to get into that. That we have to get into. But to start off the show, I want to get into this story. This is an interesting story. A story that comes out of the Maryland area. A family whose children have been late to school went to court Wednesday to be tried for a crime they contend doesn't exist under Virginia law, which is called too many tardy. Judge James B. Robeson heard only a fraction of the expected witness testimony before deciding that the trial could not be concluded in one session. He said it will resume in Loudoun's Juvenile and Domestic Relations Court on May 3rd. Quote, it seems like it's going to be a lot longer than I thought, Robeson said. The defendants are Amy and Mark Denicor, each charged with three Class 3 misdemeanors and facing fines up to $3,000. Their children were late to Waterford Elementary School about 30 times between September and mid-January, or about one in every three school days. Most of those tardies were for 3 minutes or less, according to school records. 3 minutes! The case, widely covered in the media, has sparked debate about whether the school system is overreaching over a minor offense or rightly clamping down on a habit that's disruptive to teachers and their students. In court Wednesday, Roberson, the judge, a retired Prince William County judge for that matter, who agreed to hear the case after Loudoun's own juvenile court judges recused themselves, allowed prosecutors to introduce additional allegations against the Denicors. Now the parents will not only have to answer for the tardies from this school year, but also for more than 30 tardies per child from the second semester of the 2010-2011 school year for absences from both years about 13 for each child, including 5-day family vacation in October. This is actually going to court.
Wow.
This is.
Are you sure this is not in Connecticut?
You would think it was. They sent a woman to jail for 5 years. Well, she's sentenced to 12, but they sent a woman to school for 5 years for stealing an education. You'd think it'd end up there.
And for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, and exactly. For a 5-year-old. Absolutely unheard of. And this is one of those ridiculous cases where taxpayer money is clearly being wasted here to send a ridiculous, I don't even know, and when I say whether or not it's ridiculous, okay, fine, you're having a problem, expel the kids, send them to another school, have a sit down, whatever the case is, but you're sending them to court, and the only thing that they're going to have to pay is a $3,000 fine. How much money is it costing to actually bring this case to trial? To trial. Court costs alone are going to be astronomical considering the charge. But we're talking about court costs and the $3,000. I mean, for what it's going to cost, shouldn't it make up for what the court cost is going to be? And then I would call it extremely outrageous that I'm being hauled into court because I'm late. Has anybody bothered to ask this family why they were late so many times? Does it have something to do with the fact that they live in a neighborhood? Did it have something to do with work? Did it have something to do with child care? No one is talking about that particular case. Now, I've looked over this story. There is nothing. Oh, by the way, according to this judge, at the judge's request, Meltzer confirmed that the 3 Denecourt children have not been late since January 27th. A few days before their parents were summoned to court. They've been doing extremely well. So apparently they've made some sort of provisions. So what the hell would make anybody take this to court? The prosecutor, whose name... Go ahead, JC.
Oh, I was going to say, I have to wonder, could it possibly be what I'm sitting here imagining is that their parents sometimes don't just want to get up in the morning.
That's possible.
And by the time they get up to send the kids off to school, it's like after 10 o'clock. Oops, honey, we did it again.
Well,
Chuckle, give everybody house chores, you know?
Right. According to this, they said, the Denecourts have said, we've reprioritized our children's morning routines in order to achieve this understandable goal. Acting as an attorney for himself and his wife, and he's acting as his own attorney, we've taken these allegations seriously. The couple has been charged under the state's compulsory education law, which says parents have to send their kids to school for the same number of days and hours per day as public schools are in session. The Denecourts contend that this section of the code, which makes no mention of absentees or tardies, is meant to ensure that parents enroll their kids. It's not meant to deal with truancy, they say. And if it is, then it's unconstitutionally vague. Is a parent committing a crime if their child is late to school 1 time, 5 times, 10 times, 20 times? It doesn't say. And so, I mean, I want to go into zoning laws here. Because sometimes schools do this, and I'm only bringing that up because, as we mentioned before, about the woman in Connecticut who took her kid to New Haven, was it, JC? Was it New Haven, Connecticut? She took her kid from one town to another town. Was the town she took him to New Haven?
She was living in Bridgeport. She was homeless out of Bridgeport and used a friend's address in Stamford.
Stamford, right.
And sent her kid to school in Stamford,
right.
But she was homeless.
Right, so she was homeless. So here you have a case where they're talking about the constitutional rights of being tardy or whether or not there's a constitutional stipulation about being tardy. The reason why I bring this up is because the parents didn't keep their kids out of school. They were just late. And if it's a zoning situation where their house is a certain amount – because – Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether or not Virginia has that law, and I will ask Mary when she gets in whether or not there are certain laws in Virginia that zone you to certain schools based on grade point average, wealth, you know, how much money you make for that matter, you know, whether or not that's the case. Because it sounds like this would be an issue where if they don't live that far, why would they be, I mean, 3 minutes late? You know, it's unfortunate, you know, as most news reports, they don't get to the nitty-gritty of most reports, and they don't break down all the details. And, you know, a lot of these, copy editors at newspapers only keep what they consider the most significant parts of the story in the newspaper. So we don't get the full scope of it, which, of course, hurts us in gathering and receiving news. So it sucks, but it bothers me that 3 minutes, we're not talking about the kids showing up and missing an entire class. We're not talking about the kids showing up at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, we're talking about 3 minutes. And if the records show that it was no more than 3 minutes ever, or under 3 minutes for that matter, this seems ridiculous that they would go that far. But, you know, of course, there's probably more to do with the case and the fact that they would take it to a court. You know, judges recusing themselves, all the judges who recuse themselves, brilliant, brilliant job for doing that. It's a smart move to get the hell out of this miscarriage of justice, if you will, because it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, there's nothing more that you could possibly say. I can't even drag this out any further than what it is. But I just wanted to mention it because when I saw it and it was all over the news today, I figured I had to mention it. There's, again, plenty of entertainment news today, not a lot of regular news. Let me just mention this in a story that we reported yesterday about Chris Rock and his altercation with Jason Matera, the author of Hollywood Hypocrites, at the Sundance Film Festival back on January 23rd. The response from the camp, the Chris Rock camp, has been that Chris Rock's lawyer is looking over the video. This did go viral yesterday. Everyone's talking about it. What we did not mention, because I did not know this until I watched the episode of Hannity where Jason Matera was a guest in the opening of the show. JC, I don't know whether or not you know this, but Jason Matera, as you see in a video, he's talking to Chris Rock, and there's someone else holding a camera. Reports say that the person holding the camera was a woman.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Had no idea. And he lunged at her with that look on his face?
He lunged at a woman with the camera.
Wow.
So the initial backlash started off a little bit towards the author, Jason Matera, saying that he sort of, you know, he went after, he sort of like, he sucker punched Chris Rock with this, you know, with this interview and asking him a question. But when people found out that it was a female photographer and Chris Rock reacted in that way, it immediately swung, you know, because of course the template and the temperature, if you will, of the day is the attack on women. So here it is, a devout lib going after a woman camera person, grabbing a camera and throwing it. So that's made headlines as well. So Chris Rock's lawyer, there's been no statement by Chris Rock as of yet. We will look and see if there will be. I went on Chris Rock's Twitter account, as you all know, yesterday and asked, you know, what's the deal? There's been no response as of yet, but his lawyer is the only person who's made a response and said that he's checking it out. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not Chris Rock...
Hey, I got an interesting story for you.
Whoa. Is it about Chris Rock?
No.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
No, nothing to do with Chris Rock.
No. Let's take a break.
This is a news story that I found interesting.
Well, no. We'll talk about it when we come back, because I just want to end... I'm going to end it there.
Okay.
We'll come back with some more entertaining news. Who's the person you want to talk about, just to tease?
Oh, no, it's just a story with regards to the vote in Georgia, the primary.
Oh, the primary? Really?
The other day. Yeah.
You sure it's not, you're not talking about Alabama and Mississippi?
No, I'm talking about Georgia.
Really? Well, that's a couple of weeks ago.
Hold on. Maybe about the entire South. Oh, yeah, apparently it is. They start out with Georgia. Okay.
Okay. All right. When we come back, we'll talk
about
it.
Yeah, about the entire South. It's nuts, but wow, yeah.
Okay. When we come back, we'll get into that story. And we're doing entertainment today. So we're literally going to blast you all day with entertainment. We've got stories about Akon. I've got stories about the Lux show on HBO being canceled, Russell Brand's arrest, and Bobby Christina, all when we return right here on Race on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Race on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
how
you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting. And you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Five minutes after the hour on Reese on the Radio. The number's 347-308-8701. On this Thursday, March the 15th, 2020. I'm watching Rick Santorum on Fox Report walking through Puerto Rico shaking hands, already getting criticized. Saying that Puerto Ricans need to learn English. Why is that a controversy? You want statehood? You gotta learn English. How in any way is this prejudice? How are they dissecting this? It's freaking ridiculous. Sometimes I get offended at this crap, but what can you do? Don't worry, folks. As promised, we're going to get into entertainment news. But, you know, look, we're grabbing news as it happens. JC sent me an article from TheNation.com. The headline reads, African-American vote in GOP race falls below measurable levels. Now, it doesn't say anything about what the levels were before, which is an interesting note. This is an article published by John Nichols on March 13th, 2 days ago. It reads, in Georgia, where African-Americans make up 31% of the electorate, the African-American turnout this year's Republican primary was, according to exit polls, barely 3% to the total GOP vote on Super Tuesday. So few African-Americans voted in the Republican primary that it was impossible for the exit pollsters to determine whether Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, or Ron Paul was the favorite. The numbers are so slight that they cannot be accurately assigned. So each candidate's support level is simply identified as not available, or NA. In Michigan, where African-American citizens make up almost 15% of the population, the African-American turnout in this year's Republican primary was, according to the exit polls, barely 2% of the total GOP vote. So few African-Americans voted in the Republican primary that it was impossible to ascertain whether Romney, Santorum, Gingrich, or Paul was preferred. In Florida, where African-American citizens make up 60% of the population, the African-American turnout this year was, according to exit polls, barely 1% of the total GOP vote. As Georgia and Michigan, the African-American participation level in the GOP primary was so low, it was impossible to determine whether or not Romney, he just repeats himself. In South Carolina, African-Americans make up 28% of the population. The African-American turnout this year, according to exit polls, barely 1% of the total GOP vote. And once more, it was impossible to identify the preference of any Republican contenders. Today, voters in Mississippi will go to the polls, express their preferences in the tightly contested Republican presidential race. Mississippi has the highest African-American population of any state in the union. Over 37% of all Mississippians are African-Americans. In Alabama, which also votes today, and he's talking 2 days ago, The African-American population is over 26%, making it the state with the sixth highest African-American population in the country. Will the participation rate in the Republican primaries in those states be any higher? Don't bet on it. Instead, let's consider why African-American participation rates in the primaries of these states has been, and in all likelihood will continue to be, so low. Yes, of course, African-Americans have for decades tended toward Democrats, the Democrat column. And yes, the first African-American now sits in a White House is a Democrat. But there is more to it than that. This is where it gets interesting. The answer to the question of why African-American turnout in the GOP primaries have fallen to such low levels has at least something to do with the failure of will. For all the talk among GOP operatives and conservative pundits about how the party is really trying to reach out, there is simply no evidence from the primary voting that the efforts are paying off. Indeed, to suggest that the current crop of GOP candidates is seriously contending for the African-American vote is to deny the numbers. While all of the candidates have individual African-American supporters, none of them have made the sort of connection that Republicans once made. And at least one of the current contenders, Mitt Romney, knows this. He is, after all, the son of the most honorable of one of the most honorable Republicans of the era of when the party really tried to secure a significant African-American vote and sometimes succeeded. When Mitt Romney's father sought re-election for governor of Michigan in 1966, he got 30% of the African-American vote. 2 years later, when George Romney sought the Republican nomination for the presidency, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. reportedly praised the prospect. Why? It was not just a matter of words. It was a matter of deeds. Now listen to what I'm saying. This is why it gets interesting. At the Republican National Convention of 1964, he led the fight for a strong civil rights plank after Barry Goldwater voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. George Romney refused to support the Republican nominee for president that year. What am I saying here? Here in this report, it's being said that Barry Goldwater's refusal to support the Civil Rights Act of 1964 makes Barry Goldwater leader of the Republican Party and Republicans not wanting to be a part of it, and that Mitt Romney's dad, George Romney, broke ranks. Now, this is a lie. This is a flat-out lie. Because anybody with a brain knows that it was the Democrat Party who filibustered, that's right, filibustered the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Quote George Romney, "Whites and Negroes, in my opinion, have got to learn to know each other. Barry Goldwater didn't have any background to understand this, to fathom them, and I couldn't get through to them. Couldn't get through to him, I apologize. George Romney's commitment, not to just civil rights, but to building genuine bonds of familiarity and commitment across the lines of race, was the tradition of the party of Abraham Lincoln. It should go without saying that he would be horrified, absolutely horrified, that his party has denigrated to a point where its appeal to African-American voters is so slim that their statements cannot even be measured in states with the highest African-American populations in the nation. The Republican Party has a rich history of connection with the commitment to the African-American electorate. That history, George Romney argued, was rooted in basic American and Republican principles. That the connection has become so very frayed in this year's election campaign is striking. George Romney wanted a Republican Party that could compete at every turn with Democrats for the votes of African Americans. Unfortunately, as George Romney's son grabs a GOP presidential nominated that eluded his father in 1968, the numbers from the primary suggest that George Romney's vision may very well be far from reach than it's ever been. Which is absolutely disgusting. It's sad that this is what it is, that the jargon that people are putting out there, but that's what it is that they do. Barry Goldwater.
What are you going
to do? But Barry Goldwater is, in my opinion, always going to be used by the Democratic Party as some sort of, like, you know, they always tout him. Barry Goldwater. They know that a lot of African Americans know he wouldn't support the Civil Rights Act, but they forget that it was the Democrats. You know, it's a perfect example. It's sort of going like this. Here's a perfect example. Let's say that Britney Spears, Rihanna, Beyonce, and give me another popular singer who's real big right now. Kelly Clarkson. All four of them, right? All four of them are for American Idol having another 10 years. And Fantasia comes out and says, I don't think that the competition has done anything that's been noteworthy and has done anything great. And I think that the brand has been tarnished and we might need to stop the competition and move on. Now, because of the name recognition, people would say, wow, look at all these big names going for American Idol, staying on. And these are four people and one person. In fact, let's take out Kelly Clarkson, because I can't use the terminology to use Kelly Clarkson. We'll use those just three. Britney Spears, Beyonce, and Rihanna. We'll use those three. And Fantasia says, no, it shouldn't be there, because I don't want to use somebody, because my analogy doesn't work if I do it that way. Anyway, so these big singers say that American Idol has to continue for another 10 years, because it's a good thing. And Fantasia, who's been through it, says, no, it shouldn't continue. It's not the same brand that it used to be. Now, most people would take Fantasia and they would brand her as, oh, you're a hater because you didn't become successful. Look at these successful women who are saying that it's got to be there. They would miss the whole point. Of course people like Britney Spears and Rihanna and Beyonce would want the competition to go on, because while people are focusing on that brand that's producing no stars anymore, they can continue to sell music. Yeah, keep everybody focused on that. I'm going to keep dropping albums. They're going to still keep coming to me. And Fantasia, the person who knows it, who has knowledge, they're going to completely disband her and disavow any statement that she makes. So I guess it's a poor analogy at best, because I'm coming out with it on the top of my head, but you get my meaning. Barry Goldwater is a poor example to use. A lot of people used him to separate African Americans from the Republican Party, and it worked. It worked well. This is the reason why no African Americans are going to show up at the primaries. Not after the election of Barack Obama. They picked their horse. They're not going to show up until this man is done and over with. I can't even go in the other direction. I'll take this other story that JC sent me. From Fox Nation, Obama splits the races over the voter ID. It's a short story, and I'll be brief. The Obama administration's efforts to crush state laws that require voters to provide simple photo identification has split the nation on racial lines, with blacks overwhelmingly supporting the Justice Department's actions and nearly 8 in 10 whites opposing it. coming on the heels of the Attorney General Eric Holder's efforts to strike down a Texas voter ID law, Rasmussen polls Thursday found that 62% of blacks opposed the laws. Some 76% of whites backed the identification requirements. Overall, 72% say voters should be required to show photo ID before voting. The racial divide also clouds Holder's actions. Rasmussen said that 65% of blacks agree with justices' challenge to laws requiring that IDs before voting, while just 29% of whites do. And that's just to add on to this racial tension. You know, as I said, and you can see it on recentradio.com, just type in the race war is coming, and it is. And I'll be sitting here in the middle of it when it happens. Stick around. When we return, Bobby Christina. How do I put this? Is it incest if you date your former or your adopted brother? I don't know. It's a question. It's a question. I have to ask it. Stick around. We'll be back in about 3 minutes or so. It's Reese on the Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the Radio. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day. And we're talking about the big 64 ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" He was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like, he didn't need to talk. I know just what he's talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like, some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like, "Oh my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us."
We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good.
We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Clint from Newport.
You're not gonna see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there. You know, they terrorists. They know it's black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House. Hello. We have got five black. Hello.
Hey guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio with 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donut unless you have a slight Indian accent. The point, I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the radio. We're back. 7:46 is your time on the East Coast. 46 minutes after the hour on Reese on the radio. 347-308-8701 on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the radio. Email address, of course, is reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Big announcement coming tomorrow. I had to give in and tell Mary what the deal is. She was literally like, begrudging me. Tell me what it is. Tell me. I finally just gave in and just told her. I'm glad she's not here right now, so she doesn't have to go through all of that. But anyway, nonetheless, we're back. Now, look, I'll be the first to tell you. The Whitney Houston death was tragic. And I watched the funeral. I watched all of that. I am not one of those people who's so concerned about her daughter, Bobby Christina. She's dealing with a lot. Yes, I know that. But she seems fine. You know, it's troubling and traumatic what she had to go through losing her mom. I get that. I'm not ripping her in any particular way. You know, losing a parent is never cool. But look, it's not like the media is all that concerned about consoling her, because everybody is talking about this new allegation about her personal life. I don't know whether or not it's true, but I saw the pictures today. I saw the video. Let me just break down the story for you for what I gathered so far. Nick Gordon.
Hey, boss.
Yeah, what's up?
At some point, I'm going to interrupt you because I've got a little background on the story.
Okay, well,
let me just tell what the
premise is, and then if you've got extra news, please fill me in. I'm just going on what the reports are saying right now.
Well, okay, go ahead.
Okay. According to an article that's come out everywhere, TMZ is also involved because they were the ones who had the video. Nick Gordon, who is apparently the so-called adopted son of Whitney Houston, has told ABCNews.com exclusively that he and the singer's sole heir, Bobby Christina, are not dating, contrary to reports in the media. He says, "We're just close. Just going through her mom's passing and grieving together," he said. Now, Nick Gordon is 22 years old and Bobby Christina is 19. They seem to confirm their closeness on Twitter, while neither is confirming nor denying the report that they were dating. Yeah, we got a little closer, and what? Gordon wrote a few days after posting a photo of the two of them smiling together. That was followed by, quote, all the haters that don't know us or the real story can't unfollow me. I don't give a F. I've proved my loyalty to her and the Houston family. I don't owe any of you anything. Ha! I don't even know y'all haters. I don't even know what that means. Some people have no lives, so they gotta be in ours, he added. Gordon also made it clear that the two are not related by blood. Quote, for all the stupid people out there, she gave birth to one child, and she trusted me with everything, he writes in capital letters. Exclamation, 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 exclamation. You get the idea. He added, she, meaning Whitney Houston, called me her godson. I swear some people in this world act like they don't have a brain. Now, as for Bobby Christina, as for how Bobby Christina is handling her mother's death, Gordon wrote, Chris is doing really well. I've been so happy with her strength. Bobby Christina posted on one of Gordon's tweets on her Twitter page, along with tweets from their supporters, it's no one's business what you and, I guess, I do. If people don't understand, that's their problem. Do what makes you happy. I guess that's what one person wrote. Now, look, I saw the video today. They're walking. They're holding hands. They're crossing the street. He plants a kiss on her lips, and she reaches up to receive. JC, what am I missing? What's the real deal? Give me some insight here, because I don't follow this crap.
Okay. First off, what you didn't mention in the video was just prior to that that kiss, there was he kind of reached out, grabbed her close.
He threw his arm around
her posterior region.
Yes, he did. He grabbed it around her lower waist.
Very lower waist.
He had his arm around her lower back.
The locked fingers.
Yes, they had locked fingers.
Very lower back.
Yes.
And they locked fingers. And they were just going to go pick up a pizza. And that's walking into the pizza shop.
Right.
Who gives someone a kiss goodbye when you're going from the individuals on the outside, you're walking into a pizza shop doors just to get a pizza?
Look,
I'm not going to lie.
It looks suspicious. It totally looks suspicious to me. Go on.
Well, he's defending. This kid is defending. However, the backstory on this kid was Whitney, she took him in when he was 10 years old and his mom couldn't care for him 12 years ago.
Okay.
Nobody really knew about this kid. Bobby's kids were always around, so you didn't know if that was one of Bobby's kids, or they never said who it was during the, that I can recall.
Right, he just
on the Being Bobby Brown show.
So he was on the Being Bobby Brown show.
Yeah, but like I said, Bobby's kids were always around, and Bobby had so many, you didn't know which was his, which was not his.
Okay.
More likely, they were all his except for him, but you wouldn't have known otherwise.
Right.
But since Whitney's died, he had been staying in the mansion in Atlanta.
Okay.
And Sissy Houston took measures to evict him, legally evict him from the mansion, because she stated that he was a bad influence on Christina. And this was probably 2 days ago, prior to this the whole kiss deal.
The whole kiss deal.
Right. Well, the deal where they were kissing at the pizza shop.
Huh.
This was 2 days prior.
Huh. Now, what do you...
She took steps through...
So she had him evicted, said he was a bad influence, but a bad influence in what regard?
She didn't say.
Apparently she didn't
say. She wouldn't say. No, but I kind of think she knew what was going on.
Now, TMZ is reporting that this is a relationship. That it's too close for comfort for the two of them. And the kissing on the lips and the walking holding hands like boyfriend and girlfriend, they look like an item. I'm just speculating from what it is that I saw. I'm not going to assume here, and I'm not going to say that they're actually together. But, I mean, what did you say, 10 years ago was when he joined their family?
Right.
So what do you think the deal is? Should we consider them brother and sister, or was he just kind of like haphazardly just a kind of extended member of the family who maybe over those 10 years or two got very close and fell in love?
Well, I mean, that happens. But, you know, the more I think about it, it's like, I don't know, with Cissy Houston, obviously there must have been something that she had seen prior, even to Whitney's death with these two, because it was way too soon after for her to come public about it. I mean, almost nobody in the world knew that this kid existed until she made moves or took the measures to have him evicted legally right after the reading of the will, because Whitney, surprisingly for a kid that she supposedly adopted, she left him absolutely nothing.
Well, so let's take that into consideration. We all know that based upon Whitney Houston's will, that Bobby Christina is not going to receive anything until she's 30 years old. That's one. Two, she left everything.
No. Yeah, but she gets to see it in three intervals. I think it was 21. 25 and 30 is what I read.
Okay, what I'm saying is that Bobby Christina is the heir to the estate of Whitney Houston. Okay, that's royalties,
right.
All of that stuff. Could this be a case where Cissy Houston, Whitney's mom, is protecting her from this guy who she probably feels is a nobody, a moocher, a future Bobby Brown? And that's not my depiction. I'm saying maybe that's the way she sees it. I mean, is that a strong possibility?
Think about it. After 12 years, wouldn't this kind of like be like an adopted grandson to her?
Not necessarily. Remember, now think about how isolated...
She doesn't have to accept it.
No, JC, think about this. Now you have to think about this. I'm being practical here. We're looking at a woman, Cissy Houston for that matter, who had no reins, if you will, over what Whitney Houston did. And how is that evident? The drug abuse, the rehabs, the alcoholism, the rehab, the relationship with Bobby Brown, all of that stuff that went on. All of it that went on. Cissy Houston had no control whatsoever over what Whitney did. She adopts this boy 10 years ago. She clearly had no control over Whitney adopting this 10-year-old, because that's 4 years after Bobby Brown is... how many years is that? Bobby Brown and her were married for 14 years. They got divorced in 2007. How long ago was that? That's 2012, 2007. That's 5 years. So now we're talking 5 years ago. She had 5 years before she divorced Bobby Brown. She adopts this young man. Clearly, that's now only 9 years into the relationship of Bobby Brown. Forgive my math, but I think that's correct. It's 9 years into her marriage to Bobby Brown. They adopt this young man, right? So they adopt this young man.
Mm-hmm.
Cissy Houston has no say into them adopting this young man. and now he's a part of their life. Whitney Houston dies. Sissy Houston has no part in anything that happens in the entire scheme of things. So now Whitney's dead. So now all of a sudden Sissy comes in and she's cleaning house.
Well, okay, I can see that point. However, but in a 10-year period, there's no way that she would bake cookies for Bobby Christina as grandmas do and not bring this kid a cookie. I know at some point Sissy had to have become grandma to him as well.
I don't believe that.
You don't do that. Who does that to a child?
My grandmother.
Who neglects a child?
My grandmother.
Oh.
I know plenty of grandmothers.
But...
In fact, look, I'll say this. Look, my son's grandmother openly admitted to me she did not accept her grandson because of who his parentage was. Grandmothers do this all the time. Yeah. That's nothing new. Let's go to the top of the
hour. And she's a Christian.
It doesn't. So what? That means nothing. We go to the top of the hour. I didn't realize we were spending this much time on it. We're going way deep. Stick around. We'll be right back.
They all need therapy.
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
It's Reese on the radio, and we're back 2 minutes after the hour on this Therapy Thursday, March the 15th, 2012. We were getting into the Bobby Christina weirdness that is their whole... Look, I gotta admit, I don't know why people are referring to it as incestuous. I mean, look, this isn't her blood. And as they've said in their tweets, you know, look, you know, you don't know the whole story, so don't pretend that you do. I'm looking at this from this perspective. And if you're just joining us, what we were talking about was the reports now in a video that has surfaced with Bobby Christina walking with the young man who Whitney Houston adopted some 10 years ago. Gentleman by the name of Nick Gordon, who's 22 years old. Bobby Christina, her daughter, is 19. And they're confirming their closeness on Twitter. This is a picture of them together, smiling and laughing together. But a video surfaced where they're walking down the street and got his arm around her and they got the fingers interlocked. And there was even a rumor that she had an engagement ring on, a little diamond ring on her wedding finger, her ring finger, that is, the left hand. And then, during the video, he reaches down and kisses her on the lips, and she reaches up adoringly, sort of like a girlfriend would. And people are saying, oh, you know, this is the adopted son, he got there when he was 10 years old, and she was in the house. But let me say this, and again, I'm not in any way advocating what's going on here, because I think it's a little too close for comfort. But I am looking at it from this perspective. As they always say about little girls' first love affair is with her father. And don't take that, don't parse my words. Don't take what it is that I'm saying as some sick, perverted thing. That's not what I'm talking about. is that every girl grows up, be it a great relationship or a tumultuous one, that if there is a father around for a young girl, she literally gauges every man based upon her relationship with her father. That is her first real relationship with a man. It's her father. Be he absent, be he present, be he present and absent at the same time, she gauges every relationship she has because that's the first relationship with a man she ever has. Her second relationship is with her brother. You know, the brother, you know, he treats her like dirt and they fight and they argue, and that's fine. Sibling rivalry, that goes with, you know, goes with the territory. But she bases her relationships, every girl says it. You know, girl, you meet these girls who love basketball. You love these girls who love football. What do they say when you ask them the question? Well, I grew in a house with a bunch of boys, and, you know, they kind of roughhoused me, and that's all we used to watch in the house, and I became a fan. That's how it goes. So I'm looking at Bobby Christine, and I'm saying, okay, so if he came into her life 10 years ago, he was 12. That means that she was 9. She grows up. She has this boy around her. She knows that she's 9, so she knows this isn't her brother. This is not her blood. She just knows that this is a boy who she probably thinks is kind of cute. And she's probably fighting herself over and over again. Oh, but I know he's kind of like my adopted brother, but he's so cute, he's so nice. And that takes over her. She grows up, he becomes more mature, he gets a little peach fuzz, you know, comes a little masculine, gets a little muscles, starts dressing nicer. This is her first real relationship, because she's kind of, they probably flirt with one another. He probably doesn't want to date any of Bobby Brown's kids. Hey, JC, did Bobby Brown have any girls? Bobby Christine is his only daughter, right?
No. He's got an older one.
How much older?
She's in her 20s now.
Ah, so he ain't interested in that.
Yeah.
She's old.
She's in her later 20s.
Yeah, so he's
no,
not.
She's got to be in her early 20s as well. Gorgeous girl, though. Very gorgeous.
But the bottom line is that he's in the house. Because is Bobby Brown's kids in the house with Whitney Houston? No. Only Bobby Christine is there.
No.
So there's.
But you know what else, Reese? And I mean, I really don't want to take it there or think like that. But they're also kind of together then during that experimental stage.
Oh, 9 and 12? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they're kids. Not that they know much, but, you know what kid does.
I knew a hell of a lot when I
was in the house.
But, I mean, come on. We're talking about a 19-year-old girl who spent most of her life with this guy, half of her life with this guy. She knows him. She likes him. She probably fell in love with him. I mean, come on, we've seen Cinemax movies based on the same thing.
It's kind of incestual, though.
And I knew you were going to say
that. Did you say Betamax?
No, she said that it's kind of incestual. Mary said it's kind of, how is it incestual? It's only 10 years.
It kind of is. What do you
mean? Tell me how.
What's only 10 years?
He's only been with the family for 6 years.
But he was calling to see mom, right?
We don't know that.
Well, she adopted him.
So we called her mom. Puerto Ricans called their girlfriend's mom.
And she never legally adopted him.
Exactly.
Oh.
She just took him in because she took him in because her friend couldn't no longer care for him.
That's right. And he's a man. He's a young man. He's a boy. He's got hormones. He sees cute little gap tooth Bobby Christina.
Ain't nothing about that big four-headed...
Little chunky?
Yep. Chunky monkey.
Nice chunky. James, do you think that this is... See, I know how James is going to respond to this. Kool-Aid man's in the house. A boy comes into your house when the girl's 9 years old. The boy comes to the house when she's 9 years old. 10 years later, they're seen holding hands, kissing each other. Is this some sort of weird thing to you, or does this seem natural, like this would happen?
I don't know if I'd go so far as to say natural, but I don't see how it couldn't happen. I mean, and I don't call it incestual either. Incest is someone who is naturally a blood relative.
Right.
Yeah.
Repeat what the wife said, because I heard her in the background. Tell her to get on the damn line, because I want to hear her point of view.
It wasn't my wife.
Who was it?
And it had nothing to do with the conversation.
Okay. But what would make this incestuous on any level? It can't be.
No, it's not incestuous. It's not. If you take the word as it is, then it doesn't even fit in the same category.
So what are people up in arms about? Because they lived in the same house?
Yeah, but, I mean, then again, you could say that against, even if it was a foster child. The thing is, they're not blood. They're not family. It's not incest. It's people's concept of the word is a little skewed.
Right.
If you're in the same household, it doesn't make you family by blood. Now, there is, you know,
James, it doesn't make your family by blood. But don't you think that, I mean, even at that point, if you don't have those family type feelings that you have for your family as you would have for, like, anyone else, I mean, at that close to not being blood, her feelings should be almost somewhere in the neighborhood, like at least like how you would feel about your cousin.
Yeah. Now, I never said it wasn't weird, right? I never said
Wait. Hold on. Now, look, I'm not advocating their relationship, but how is this weird? Because I'm looking at this from a perspective. I'm being devil's advocate here. How is this in any way weird? Think about it. He comes in when she's 12, she's
it's
9.
Not really weird.
They're
it's
formative
like
years, yes.
No. Again, now Mary's using the word forbidden. How is this weird or forbidden? Think about it. She's 9. He's 12. They probably played together, enjoyed one another. When I say enjoyed one another, I mean their company. They enjoyed one another's company. They probably played together as kids. Bobby Christina at 9 years old knows that you didn't come from my mommy. I know that you were somebody else's child. You are not my real brother. I don't know how many times I've heard that from as a stepfather. You ain't my real dad. You ain't my real mama. So you're not my real brother. So there's never been that issue. The two probably got along real well, knew each other's situation. Well, my mom, she can't take care of me, Bobby Christina, and I'm going to live with you guys for a while. Oh, well, you're kind of cool. Let's be friends. And they become friends, and they partner up, and they do everything together. They go to movies together. They go to parties together. Hey, you know what? I'm going to get drunk at the high school party. Can you make sure I get home? Don't worry about it. I got your back. You're like my baby sis. But he's really having affections for her because he cares about her so much. And then she realizes he's my protector. And she starts to care about him so much. And then mom's passing brings them so close together that they got each other's tongues in their mouth.
Well, they should just make buddy dolls out of them then.
But come on, who says it?
Well, I mean, and you think about it. You forgot one key element, too.
Go ahead.
They went through puberty together.
Yes!
Right. As I was about to say, they went through their formative years together.
Yeah.
All right? That's very telling. And as you said earlier, this is probably the most pure relationship she's had with another boy who's not family.
And this is what I said earlier. This is the first love affair, if you will, that she's ever had. This is kind of like her closest male counterpart, I guess would be the best word. This isn't like the two grew up when they were 4 or 5 years old, when they don't know any better about you being somebody else's child. We're talking about a 9 and 12 year old.
Well, I think we should stick
and
to that.
And there's also
somebody else's child. All right, he's not really. He wasn't even adopted. He's not even a son of Bobby or Whitney, right?
Right, exactly. And it was known.
Right, no.
This is not something that was a secret. Like, Bobby Christina didn't wake up one day after her mom was dead and then look at this boy and go, oh, my God, you're not my mom's real son? Oh, I love you now. It's not like that. She's always known.
And there was always a convenience factor there as well.
Well, of course. They've been through everything.
Age.
Right.
You know, they've been close enough. They've been close enough where they probably told each other everything. They told each other, you know, about the either the boy she liked or the girl he liked, the failed tries at young love. They probably had each other to lean on so many years.
What
people
about
get married for less?
Right. What about they leaned on each other when Bobby and Whitney divorced in 2007? When they broke up in 2006? Bobby Christina went through a tumultuous time in 2006 when they split. He was probably there to comfort her, and, you know, and it turned romantic. Who knows how long this has been going on?
Lean on me. When you're not strong.
I'm just saying that I think a lot's been made of
it. It's Barney's birthday.
I think people are turning this into something that it's not, in order to make it creepy and weird, because it's not creepy and weird. There's a reasonable explanation for these two to be together.
Because people want to make it a three-ring circus.
Yes.
So they don't feel, they can feel superior. And, you know,
No, James, call it what it is. It's manufactured tabloid. That's what it is.
You
know what's the funny kind of odd about this story?
If love is wrong, I don't want to be right.
No, but this is what I find odd about this story. BET, well, I'm sure Reese is going to kill me for quoting, but BET was quoted as saying that Sissy didn't like the fact that, and she thought that her granddaughter was in an incestuous relationship. And those were Sissy's quotes. And on the same token, this is the same kid she was evicting a few days ago, as though she was never grandma to him.
Yeah, but why are people quoting the incestuous relationship? She evicted this young man out of the house, the mansion in Atlanta, immediately after the will was released, and got rid of him, citing that he was a bad influence for Bobby Christina. This is bogus.
Citing he was a bad influence?
Yeah, a bad influence.
You have to take it that she saw something there too.
Well, sure she did. So it doesn't matter. What she knows is, and JC, I've already said, and I agree with you, the bottom line is that Sissy Houston saw that these two were too close for comfort, according to herself. Here's Bobby Christina, the sole heir to the Whitney Houston fortune, no matter what it may be, and she doesn't want another quote-unquote...
Oh, is she the sole heir?
Yes, she is. And she
good
doesn't...
for Whitney. I'm glad she didn't give it to anybody else.
Well, why would she give it to anybody else? But the bottom line is that she makes Bobby Christina the sole heir, and what does she do? Ensure that no other, as Sissy would put it, Bobby Brown type would fleece the money from Bobby Christina.
Bobby Christina is of adult age. Sissy Houston cannot go kicking this boy out of Bobby Christina's house.
Wait. Go ahead, James.
The thing is, that's very telling right there. Because if she kicked him out, then it could also be inferred that she didn't treat him as a family member.
Right.
Well, obviously not.
But I agree with that. But the bottom line is
that's what I said was odd, James. She didn't think of him as a family member, but she was quoted as saying that Bobby was in an incestuous relationship.
Yeah,
it was her
brother. What Sissy Houston is creating again, manufactured. Here's my point, and this is, and I think this will really bring it home. The bottom line is that Sissy Houston is being reactionary. She could do nothing about Whitney Houston marrying Bobby Brown, a marriage she contested to the fullest.
a marriage that everybody can test.
Well, it doesn't matter, but Sissy Houston contested it. The bottom line is that with Bobby Christina, she has more control and she's taking it.
But what control does she have if Bobby Christina puts her out?
Where's Bobby Christina living? With Sissy Houston.
But why?
Because she's only 19.
So what? She has her own joint to live in.
She's got nothing. Her mother's dead. Everything she had was her mother's, and she's staying with her family.
But
and
now everything that was her mama's is hers.
Come on. Mary.
No.
She don't get it immediately.
No, Mary, you're missing. You're missing this. I'll tell you what you're missing. Think about it. She's 19 years old. Her mother, her grandmother, just lost her daughter for her illicit conduct. Drug abuse, rehab, alcoholism, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. You don't think that the grandmother, now looking at Bobby Christina, being a sole heir, that now this woman is not reactionary in trying to control every aspect of the only living product of her daughter, and she's going to be reactionary to enough where she calls it protecting her and making sure that everything she does is on lockdown. You don't think that that's common for anything.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But Bobby Christina is 19 years old, and at 19, I was living on my own. I did not need my mama or my grandmama helping me or doing anything.
I'm not disputing that.
So Bobby Christina needs to break away from grandma.
You want her to do that?
And roll out.
Do you want her to do that?
Hey,
really?
If that's what she wants to do.
Do you think that her grandmother is going to allow her to do that, given everything that happened to Whitney Houston?
What is she in prison, Reese?
Again,
her grandmother cannot make her do anything she doesn't want to do. She's an adult.
You sound like you're arguing with me as opposed to what the logic is here. I'm telling you that
I comprehend what you're saying, but what I'm saying is at 19, the girl has whatever money she needs because she's the sole heir to her mama's misfortune. So, need her grandmother.
That was actually a nice little stab you took there.
Know.
Her mother's misfortune. I like that.
She doesn't need her. She can break away from her. She can break away from the chains and be like, roll out, Gramp.
But I'm out. But do you understand that Sissy Houston is responding to the death of her daughter?
Yeah, no, this is what Sissy Houston is responding to. Sissy Houston is responding to the fact that her daughter screwed her life up, ended up dying at a crazily young age, and left all her shiznit to this
19-year-old
product of her mother that is probably going
to
shift. Yeah, she is trying to protect her, but Bobby Christina doesn't have to let her protect her. That's what I'm saying to you. She doesn't have to let her grandmother take control of her life. She can say, look, Gram, I'm rolling out. Me and my man, my brother, whatever, we are going to live in my mama's house or in my house because it's mine now. Mine. Not yours, but mine.
Again,
out of my life.
Go ahead, James. I'm done arguing.
From what I've been gathering, everybody keeps saying this is supposed to be her brother, but it is. But nowhere is he her brother.
I was just
nowhere, not on paper.
I was being facetious, James. I was just throwing that in there.
All right. So frankly, the only thing they did, the only thing was they happened to grow up together. That's it. Now, I can understand Sissy Houston's reaction. And I'm leaning more towards, you know, Reese, because here it is, you know, this is Bobby Whitney, Bobby Christina. She's already been through the tabloid merry-go-round. The one thing that she doesn't want her family to take is another one.
Exactly.
And why she said, you know, what she saw was an incestuous relationship, it's already been said it's an incestuous relationship. It's already been put out there.
But she's piggybacking off of that. It's manufactured, James, isn't that right?
No. I don't think of a piggybacking I can agree with. Manufacturing, no. She's reacting to the fact that it's already been manufactured.
Right. Okay, but I would say that it's already
enabling that manufacturing.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly put.
And
Mary, that's exactly what it is. Go ahead, JC.
And Mary?
Yeah.
Mary.
Yes.
The one part of the story that you're missing is that is that she doesn't get her hands on this money until she's 21.
Natalie
Peely gets a third of it.
Okay, wait a minute. So
she gets a third of it
now.
When she's 21.
Okay, hold on, JC.
A third when she's 25.
Uh-huh.
And the rest when she's 30.
And a third when she's 30.
Okay.
Now what Sissy's doing is Sissy is protecting her and the family's meal ticket.
Of course.
I don't think so.
She hasn't sold a gospel album.
How is it a meal ticket? Sissy used it.
She hasn't sold a gospel. She herself hasn't sold a gospel album since the resurrection.
Oh, no. Okay, look. Wait. James,
and she can live off her name alone.
Wait.
She can do a remake. She can do a remake of If Love Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
Listen, I got to stop you, JC. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. I think literally that's a rookie move on anybody's part that believes that Sissy Houston is trying to protect Whitney's assets so that she can keep them for herself. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that.
Think about it, though.
All right, here it is. Whitney, Bobby Christina is 19. She is 19. All right, again, this is the years where, you know, everybody's putting themselves out there, pushing their limits. All right? She's already been through tragedy after tragedy, scandal after scandal. All right, she's dealing with a tragedy right now. I applaud Sissy because you put a bunch of money in that little girl's hands right now. Trust and believe she's going to be front page news inside of a month.
Oh, absolutely. She's already front page news. She's on every internet search engine. She is in every newspaper. She was on the Daily News and the Post today based upon
she's
this
already
relationship. She's already
under a microscope.
Exactly. Everything she does is under a microscope. I believe that Sissy Houston's reaction is about protection. And I think that she didn't have any control of a 48-year-old woman, her daughter, Whitney Houston. There's no way that Sissy Houston could intrude on Whitney Houston's life as a 48-year-old woman. But a 19-year-old girl? Oh, come on. She's totally going to exalt her rule over a 19-year-old. Mary, I appreciate where you're coming from because I know you're about to say she has every right as a 19-year-old girl to say, hey, you know, Grandma, I'm Audi 5000. Do the kids still say that?
Yes.
I'm Audi 5000, G. But her grandmother feels as if she's got better control over a 19-year-old versus a 48-year-old woman.
Okay,
that's
and I comprehend that. But at the age of where I was at the age of 19, I would have told her to go take a hike.
I don't know. We dragged
her.
Let me say this.
JC, you get the last word.
I know we're getting ready to go to a break.
You get the last word. We'll go to a break.
I know we're getting ready to go to a break. But if you did get an opportunity, and I don't know if anyone here did, was to watch the Bobby Christina interview on Oprah, The Next Chapter, I watched that entire interview. And the reason why I kind of say that they're protecting the family's meal ticket, Whitney Houston's manager, supposed best friend, sister-in-law, her brother Tommy's, Robert's wife, and personal assistant. They did the interview at her house. Oprah was there. At the beginning of the interview, they had her in the kitchen. And I couldn't figure out why they got Oprah in the kitchen to start this interview. And you see all these people walking around in the background. Well, one of those people happened to turn around or turn the wrong way, and you saw a glimpse of his Renaissance shirt.
His what?
That they were just bringing the furniture into the living room.
The Renaissance?
And it was, now, this is her manager. Huh?
You said Renaissance?
A Renaissance, and this was Whitney's manager.
Wearing a Rent-A-Center shirt?
No, you saw people bringing either in furniture or taking out furniture that worked for Rent-A-Center.
Oh. Well, that's scary. I don't know. Anyway, look. That's
well, she,
about
was, she was her family's meal ticket.
She's a rent-a-wreck.
Yeah, that might be. All right, we'll take a break now. Now we got to take a break.
Lean on
me. All right, listen, when we come back, folks, I've said this over and over and over and over again. The reason why I hate today's music is when I found out today how the new music is being marketed, trust me, you are going to be stunned. Everybody here, do you guys like Akon? Let's get James back
Akon.
In here.
I love Akon.
You love
Akon?
Akon
is one of my most favorite.
You love Akon? James, how about you? Do you like Akon?
Yeah, I've listened to him. A couple of songs I've listened to. Yeah, I like him.
How about
you?
Wait. How about you, JC? Do you like Akon?
Brock, ugly one. No.
All right.
Tell you, JC, Akon. Every record that Akon has put out, whether they played it on the radio or not, he's the genius. It was not
garbage. Okay, I want to know whether or not you feel that way when I tell you this special report of how Akon decides on how or if his songs will actually be played on the radio when we return right here on Resona Radio. Stick around. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Resona Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
An Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Resona Radio on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 36 minutes after the hour on this Therapy Thursday, March the 15th, 2012. And we are dedicating the entire show to entertainment news.
What?
Yeah, today's nothing but entertainment. Because there wasn't any news today. Mary, you're late to the show, so you didn't know this. There's nothing but entertainment news today because we covered two stories that were in the news. The first hour, we covered that. And now, for the rest of the show, we're just going to cover some entertainment news. And there's been some good entertainment news. It was actually better than the regular news.
Okay, fine. It better be something exciting.
Well, there is. We're going to talk about Akon in this break. And you like
Akon.
Oh,
that's right.
Right. We'll talk about Akon. You can't even remember. These guys are still in the middle of a conversation together. I have to cut them off. Pardon me for a second. Okay, just want to make sure the guys are there. Okay. So when I saw this, and I'm the biggest critic of popular music because I hate it, which makes me a great critic because there are people out there who are music critics and they love everything. Oh, yeah, that's hot. Oh, that beat was crazy. They just like everything.
It's not that they like everything. It's that they see something good.
Whatever.
In everything.
Whatever. That's bogus. I critique. To critique means find something.
But who are you to critique?
I'm better than all of them.
Oh, stop it.
I am. I'm better than all of them. I can critique music better than anybody.
And what makes you think that you can critique music better than anybody else?
Because I freaking said so.
You have a degree in this?
I don't need a degree.
Oh, this is just something you were born with.
Exactly right. I have a taste and I have a belief that I know.
But
no,
your
no,
taste
let me rephrase
is your
that.
Taste. Really.
I have a knowledge.
Now, you cannot talk to me about music because I know what you listen to.
Yeah, and the stuff
you
I listen to is goddamn good.
To, and you, like, I
and
love
if you
music.
Want something on paper, he's got hours logged in on the air.
Yeah, that's
more
right.
More than anything.
That's right.
You know
I've
what,
got...
JC? Nobody asked you. Enough from the peanut gallery. Put him on mute, please. Thank you.
Let
I'm
me
sorry.
Get back
I'm,
to
I'm oh, sorry. I have the controls over here, buddy.
Let me get back to the point. He has the control.
I got hours.
Damn you.
The point of the matter is that because I'm a critic and I'm an honest critic, I don't sit up here and just kowtow to what it is that everybody considers popular music. Some of the music is garbage. Garbage.
There's a lot of the music that I listen to that you don't care for. And you've actually said things to me about, wow. Really don't like your choice of music.
I told you that. I
really
said sometimes you play
like
music.
That.
Listen, I've driven with you.
But
in a car.
I love music. You listen to music for something totally different than what I listen to music for. And I've said this to you before.
Okay, tell me what it is that you listen to.
I listen to music and I relate to music. It's like.
Like in an existential
it's like a
level?
Real. No, it's like a real. An ongoing reel of. When I say real, I mean R E E E L.
R-E-E-L.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like an ongoing reel of things that have happened in my life, where I was,
from the time that, you know, I remember the first 45 that I had, which was, you know, the Pointer Sisters, He's So Shy.
Sentimental value to your music.
So there is, and now I also listen, I also enjoy music for if it has a really hot beat, if it, you know, if it makes me feel something. If it makes me feel something inside, then that's why I listen to it. I listen to a very wide variety of music.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot say that you should be the one to critique people's music because you're the best critic. You listen to music because of the, primarily because of the beat.
Wrong.
You even know what beat that music is on, or whatever the verbiage
the
was.
BPM?
The BPM, beats per minute.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Who the hell knows that? Who knows that?
Listen to this. Listen to the music and the overlay, sampling, looping.
My brother,
what?
It shouldn't be that
talking
difficult.
About difficult. That's exactly
you should just
what
be able
be.
To, no, you should just be able to listen to it and keep moving. Not everybody thinks in the most analytical, precise way that you may think
really?
About things. Yes,
Mozart,
really.
Beethoven.
Okay, what about
Bach?
Them? Studied them. What
well,
about
well,
them?
But you did, right?
Yes, I did.
And the intricacies of each and every one of classic pianists, classic concertos.
Okay.
All of those things have been analyzed since the dawn of time, since the beginning of music.
Okay.
And now you're telling me that because some dude is going, hey, yo, that all of a sudden those things don't matter? Now the music has become simplistic?
No. I'm talking about your analytical skills or your analytical ways of saying that you are the best music critic.
Let's get the guys in here and let's see whether or not I'm wrong or you're right. Notice how I phrase that. James, am I wrong or is she right?
Okay, wait. All right, look, the thing about music is everybody picks it apart. All right, but everybody picks it apart for different reasons.
Right.
And in different ways.
So I can't stand anyone who says they're a critic or a knowledgeable critic, okay, because I'm not you, you're not me. So frankly, you can't tell me what I'm going to like and what I'm not going to like.
I'm not suggesting that.
Yes, you are.
I'm suggesting what's good and what's bad.
So you're saying... But so you're going to criticize what if I like what you think is bad, you're going to call that bad music. I have poor taste in music. Obviously, I know nothing.
I have every right to call it that, but the
who
truth
the
is
no, you do not.
Where do you get this right?
Absolutely do not. Who gave you that right? You are no one to judge.
Okay. The idea in most music is to judge. You don't put out bad music. You put out what you think is good music, right?
Reese, come on.
And you also hope somebody else
is snoring in the... Hold on.
Yes, he is.
Is JP snoring in the background?
Yes, he is.
I need to move on to the subject. You're not going to hit me with this one this time. No, you're not.
Hold on. Here's my point. This is the reason why I'm so angered about this subject and why I'm so adamant about this. Akon revealed yesterday on TMZ.com. The reporter asked him, or the cameraman asked him, you have so many songs on radio. How do you test how a song, or whether or not a song is going to be a hit? Do you know what Akon's response was?
Every song I put out is a hit.
He said, I play it in the strip club first. And if the dancers respond to it, I put it on the radio.
What an idiot.
Akon is numero uno.
But again,
what an idiot.
No, you can call him an idiot, but think about it. Every song Akon put out is a hit. So now you're telling me that right now the person or the barometer of the songs that are being put out by Akon is by some hoe on a pole.
No, it's how that hoe on the pole shakes her ass down the pole when she hears that. That's what it's about.
So Akon goes, hey, yeah, look at the way she's shaking her ass. Yeah, get that one on 98.7 right now.
Akon
she loves that.
Sound like
whatever,
that.
I'm assuming he sounds like that.
Akon says, stay out of trouble.
No, he's African. He's African.
Really?
He is African.
Yes, he is. He's African.
Yeah.
Yes. Put that song on the record for truth.
You put the record on the record player.
Put that song on the record player.
Think about it. Listen, you could play an Akon track, or you could play Mary Had a Little Lamb. She's going to shake her ass for a dollar regardless.
No, my man, and don't go like that. You put on, how much can you shake and move that booty to Mary Had a Little Lamb? But I tell you one thing.
Somebody out there is going to try it.
Put on, bend over to the front, touch your toes, and back that ass up and down, get low. You're going to make you some good money.
That's Lil Jon.
I know it's Lil Jon, but I'm just saying with that those types of beats.
Get your Negroes in order.
My point is
Negroes are in order. I can tell you Akon's records word for word, my brother. Challenge me.
My point is, please don't challenge me.
Order and traveling down fallopian tubes.
Please.
Wait, what? What'd you say?
No, let that one
what
go.
Did he, no,
just
no,
let it
what
go.
Did he say?
I didn't hear it.
What's slowing down my fallopian tube?
Please don't.
No,
what?
Said her Negroes are in order, and they're traveling through her fallopian tubes.
That's just awful.
Wow, James. That was a good one.
Anyway, my point is that that's...
How about both of them if you're Hazel Jones?
He's probably one of the most successful...
I wish.
He's one of the most successful artists in the world, Akon. And when I saw this, when he said that he was actually testing his music in a strip club, it slapped me in the face. That was the reason why I was so appalled. That's why
He's not making money off of his music, though.
He's a genius. Is that all he had to do? Was test it in a damn strip club? Everything he's got is on fire. It blows up.
No. Akon is filthy rich from his artists. He only had one real song that was Locked Up.
No, he had Locked Up. He had Trouble. He had Ghetto. He had...
Smack That.
Played on commercial radio.
He had Lonely.
Smack That was commercial radio. He's got Eminem on the track, for crying out loud.
Yeah, Smack That was on the radio.
He's made his money off of T-Pain and Lady Gaga.
Dangerous.
Yep.
But again, if he's actually, his test audience are strippers. I mean, that bothers me. I mean,
it bothers you. Well, what does it bother you? Why does it bother you? Does it bother you in about the lab or the fact that he's usually right?
that the audience.
Because you just said yourself, he's one of the, he's probably one of the biggest in the world, not just America.
He is,
you know,
the most, he's one of the most successful artists in the world.
In the
in
world.
The world.
All right, and he tests his songs in a strip club. So obviously he's found a niche that you haven't considered.
And wait a minute, wait a minute. Let me, and look at how simple that was to find my analytical host. Look at how simple that was. It was so, I got to think about how many RPMs or BPMs, and I got to think about, is there a run in this? And I got to think of, you know,
but,
whatever. There was none of that. It was put that shit.
Oh, no. You can't say that. I'm sure he picked his part when he's in the studio.
No, I'm sure that all that was in the studio too, James. I'm just trying to make a point. Reese is so damn analytical, and he thinks that it would have to be some, like, concerto instead of just being like, put it in the strip club. If it works out, it works out. It's going to be a number one seller. And it's worked out thus far for the
band. What I'm saying is that I don't want strippers dictating the music that's being pumped out there on the airwaves.
You don't have to have to listen to it. That's not your problem.
Why not? Why not? All right? Why not have strippers choose the music that's being pumped out? They pump out everything else.
What's wrong with strippers? Strippers are like
public servants?
Listen.
There you go.
Wow. There is nothing wrong with strippers. It takes a true talent to be a great stripper. It takes a talent. Not everybody can go up and down and pose like that. Not everybody can shake that booty like that. Not everybody can pick up a freaking a shot glass with their, you know. I mean, come on.
And there's also another thing you gotta figure out.
Look at it like it's a talent. You couldn't do what they did. I couldn't do what they did. But if I could, I'd be doing it.
Go ahead, James. I'm listening.
All right. There's also a factor when it's not just the strippers. Because if you can get a man in a strip club to bob his head to the music, pay attention to the music, instead of the strippers, you definitely got a hit.
Good point, James. Good point. Never would have even thought of that.
Absolutely disgusted. We'll take a break. Akon, I hate you.
Akon, I love you.
I think you're a genius.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and if you missed the show, you probably missed this little thing that I revealed for the first time since 2007.
I'll give you another example. I've got a crush on a Slurpee. I love Coca-Cola Slurpees. Love them. I'll get the biggest one there is. I don't care how filled my bladder. I'm telling you, I've had four of them in a day, and we're talking about the big 64-ounce. I am in love with a Coca-Cola Slurpee. When I used to live in Fort Lee, New Jersey, I used to walk 7 blocks in New Jersey to get to the 7-Eleven and go get me a Coca-Cola Slurpee. Now, for a little time, back in 2007, I had an official Coke problem.
Okay. Very funny.
Tune in weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. You never know what I'm going to reveal.
One time racism saved my life, man. I was on a plane. I was coming from overseas, and I don't know how this guy got a machine gun on the plane, but he stood up, man. He said, "Everybody, get on the fucking ground. Nobody look at my face." I started freaking out because he was Chinese. I was like, "Why is he talking like that?" Was screaming and crying. I was the only brother on the plane. Well, I thought I was the only brother. I looked over. There was one other black dude. He's from Nigeria. I looked over at him. He was looking right in my face, man. He didn't say two words to me. He just looked at me. He was like... He didn't even talk. I knew just what he was talking about. I looked right back at him. I was like... Some white dudes on the front of the plane seen us. They were like... Oh, my God. I think those black guys are going to try to save us. We were just communicating that we understood the situation. We were both seeing the same thing. What we understood was simple. Terrorists don't take black hostages. That's the truth. I have yet to see one of us on the news reading the hostage letters. They is treating us good. We all chilling and shit. I'd like to give a shout out to Ray Ray and Big Steve and Central Newport.
You're not going to see it. And terrorists are smart. They know what they're doing there, you know. They terrorists. They know black people's bad bargaining chips. They called the White House and said, "Hello? We have got five black... Hello?"
Hey guys, it's Reese on the radio. And are you nervous about calling Reese on the radio at 347-308-8701? That's fine. You can send us an email at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. We'll take all of your emails and we'll read them on the air. Don't like the show? We'll read it. Like the show? We'll definitely read it. You're indifferent about the show? We'll read it. Whatever it is you've got to say, we'll read it. Just send an email to reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. That's right, reeseontheradio@yahoo.com. Get your comments live on the air. Get your views. Get your position made. Whatever it is that you've got to say, just email us at reeseontheradio@yahoo.com.
In Delaware, the largest growth in population is Indian American, moving from India. You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. I'm not joking.
It's Reese on the Radio. We are back right here live on blogtalkradio.com/Reese on the Radio. 3 minutes to the top of the hour. We're going to get into some more entertainment news tonight because we've got plenty. We've got to talk about everybody in the next hour. We're going to talk about Rihanna and Chris Brown reuniting.
Love them.
Okay. We're also going to talk about the HBO drama Lux starring Nick Nolte, Dustin Hoffman, and a slew of other actors. I don't even
know. What is it?
So, a TV show on HBO called Luck.
Never heard of it.
It's had three or four episodes. I've watched them. The show's already been canceled, but because of a huge controversy involving the horses. It's a horse racing drama.
And is PETA involved in this?
No, actually. Okay. According to People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Horse doctors?
No, the animal rights groups are not involved with it, but there was some controversy that took place that caused the show to be canceled. It hasn't even had it in
equestrians.
The equestrians. No, the equestrians have nothing to do with that. So we get into that. Also, we have to get into Russell Brand, Katy Perry's ex-husband, has turned himself into New Orleans police. He was arrested for throwing a cell phone into a window. That's another weird story.
Snatches his cell phone into the window, and Mr. Brand throws it out the window.
We'll get into those stories when we return. Of course, it's Therapy Thursday. So we'll get into all of those when we return in the next hour. There's a whole lot of other entertainment news, of course, to get into. And we'll talk about that as soon as we get back. So stick around. We will return. It's Reese on the Radio.
Trying a brand new menu item at McDonald's isn't risky. You know what's risky? Petting a stray pit bull or shaving your head just to see how it would look. That's risky. Naming your son Sue, super risky. Giving your friends your Facebook password, ultra risky. So trying a new menu item at McDonald's is about a zero on the old risker scale. Try a snack size of our new Chicken McBites for free with purchase of any extra value meal from January 30th through February 5th. New at McDonald's means no risk, delicious reward. Participation may vary.
I tried a lot of cars, Ford Pinto, the Pontiac Fiero, but the Volt was the first car that truly got me excited and looking into the prospect of buying American again. Yeah, I've heard they're catching on fire in some cases, but I found that the fire really helps me get to my destination faster for fear of my life. Also, people really move out of the way when giant hunks of metal are hurtling towards them. Probably the one thing that sold me on the car. I'm really proud of what GM has been able to accomplish by working with the Obama administration. They've proven that in America, you can make it in any business, as long as you have unlimited financial resources and the backing of the United States government. I don't know about you, but I think that's more than worth the couple $100,000 it costs taxpayers every time somebody buys one of these suckers. I'm sorry, do you smell something?
Television's a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
Come on.
All the humanity. All the...
Mary had a little lamb in pieces white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool. Ah!
I never once said, Nagada.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on this Therapy Thursday. March the 15th, 2012, 1 minute after the hour, 9:01 Eastern Standard Time. In fact, it's about to be 9:02 right about now. Anyway, so again, there's no real news to discuss today. So we're going to dedicate Thursdays to entertainment, because if we're going to do Therapy Thursday, we figured we should embark some therapy onto some of these lunatics in the celebrity-dom or whatever it is. Celebridom? Celebridom. Can I have coined a phrase? Can I have coined a phrase? Maybe. Sort of. Possible.
Probably not.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm sure.
Mary is really, really upset about the last conversation about criticizing each other's music. She got really irate off the air.
No, I didn't get irate. I just told you how I felt about it.
It drew ire from you, obviously.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to
whatever,
me.
Whatever, we'll move on.
No one criticizes your music.
And you're never going to.
And you should not be the one to be criticizing anyone else's.
And we move on. I'm not going to concede to that.
I know you won't, because you're stubborn, excuse me, and pig-headed.
Yeah, anyway. Speaking of music, this report came out over the past couple of days. Singer Rihanna is in the news.
Lover.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, Reuters is reporting pop star Rihanna called her recent musical collaboration with ex-boyfriend Chris Brown innocent after critics and fans split on the duo working together 3 years after Brown assaulted the pop star. She says, quote, "We did two records, one for my fans and one for his fans, and that way our fans can come together.
We want to get married."
Yeah. All right. That's a writer's embellishment there for Mary. Anyway, Rihanna told Ryan Seacrest on his syndicated morning show today, Rihanna provided vocals on a remix of Brown's new dance song, Turn Up the Music, while Brown lent his voice to Rihanna's sexually charged birthday cake. Both tracks were released last month after the Grammy Awards on February 12th. She says, quote, "I reached out to him doing birthday cake because that's the only person that really
made sense.
That really made sense to do the record with. It's just as a musician, despite everything else, that was going to be the person," Rihanna said, you know, she told Ryan Seacrest. I thought about rappers. I've done that so many times. And the hardest R&B artist right now is Chris Brown. So I wanted him on the track. She added, Brown nearly derailed his career 3 years ago, as you may know, in that whole fight that they had pre-Grammys 3 years ago. How do I respond to this? In my personal view, they got into a fight that involved the police, and according to the picture, he whipped their ass. That being said, it's 3 years ago.
She loves him.
It's 3 years ago, and bygones are bygones. They made things happen. They got together, and it's over. And they've decided to be friends. Maybe she's still crazy about him, whatever.
It's in the news that they're going to secretly get married.
That's not the news. That's
yes,
in the tabloid.
Okay, whatever. It's still
That's
a part
the
of
news.
The news.
It's not the news.
It was on the radio station in the morning. And listen, I love Rihanna. She is one of my all-time. I mean, this is the chick that sing, that I remember riding to work one day listening to the radio. And I was like, I listened to the words and I was like, holy crap, who is this? Do they really let you put this on the radio nowadays? And
what
she was singing about, we did it on Friday Night Dance Party. It was like Chains and Whips or something.
Right.
So she was, I'm like listening to the radio and I hear something on the radio about Chains and Whips excite me. And I was like, oh, I love this chick. I was like, who is that? And I found out when it was Rihanna. And I actually, that is the song that I heard her do that made me become a fan.
All right. JC, is this a wise move by her? The fans seem to be rejecting it. JC, are you there?
I have no idea if he's...
I don't think he's there. We'll get him later. Okay, he's
somewhere. That would be incredible.
Well, James, the fans are rejecting this. What do you think? I mean, should bygones be bygones and just keep moving?
No. Well, at least not in this case, because, you know, such a big deal was made out of him for whipping your butt. All right.
Well, that's what happened, though, because he's the man.
He was given such credence for, you know, coming back from that, and you know, she had so much support, you know. So it seems, you know, and, you know, like on talk shows, wherever she went on this talk show, tour where she was made out to be this huge victim, and now garnered such support, and now it's like a slap in the face to her fans when, you know, he's a guy who kicked your ass, and now you're going to go back to him, bygones be bygones. You know, such a big deal was made of it by her and by everyone else that now you're saying, ah, well, you know what? Let's just forget about it. Come on.
Who's saying let's just forget about it? Her
well,
and
she's
him are
saying
both
let's
saying,
just forget about
gone.
It. She said let's just forget about it. And she said that this is an opportunity to bring our fans together. Is she looking at this from a money-making perspective? I mean, I don't know
no,
how
No, I think that she – listen, it really has – it always has been – And it probably will end up being that the two of them, I mean, the buzz has always been that they want to be together. And I think that this is their way of trying to come together musically and having the fans open themselves up to the musical part of it so then that they can bring in the rest of it. Because they don't want to kill their careers by getting back together. It's like they're taking baby steps to getting back together.
Okay, let's...
And if she wants to be with him and he wants to be with her and he beat her ass, and she still wants to be with him, then you know what? That's her freaking business. And that's his business. What
but
the hell did
here,
any of us have to do with
here's
it?
Here's where I have a problem.
What
because
did any of us have to do with it before? I mean, the
I
thing
mean,
is...
I don't, if she wants to get her ass beat, go ahead, boo.
That's,
do
okay.
what you do.
See,
I'm not.
You guys hear me now?
Well, we've
been waiting on you.
Here's my issue. JC, I'll let you chime in on this, but here's where I got my issue. My issue is this. Remember, it's already been a high level of scrutiny between with the whole fight, right, that took place. The level of scrutiny was so high with Chris Brown after the fight took place.
Right.
Now, think about this. The media is going to be on pins and needles if they get back together again. God forbid they get married. But let's say they do. And these two were coming out of Lord and Taylor or the Beverly Hills Hilton, and they're in an argument about who left the toilet seat up. And the paparazzi are out there, and she's furious. And they're going, oh, look at everything they do that remotely sees an air of violence or contention between the two will be deemed as, is Chris Brown beating her again? They have such a volatile relationship. Because everything that they do now is going to be on the precipice or the genesis of anything that happens, or I guess precipice is the best word, the precipice of anything is going to be that beating and the fact that he got convicted for it.
And then there's also the fact that there's been a schism, mostly between men and women. I'm accused of it and actually guilty of it myself, because where, you know, this was a fight that went wrong. You know, when the story came out, it was all, oh, she just got beaten up, she just got beaten up. It was all his fault, all his fault. And even I said that, okay, there was something a little hinky about that, you know, and I refused to believe that she had nothing to do with the fact that, you know, this happened, okay? Not blaming it on her, but saying that she had an equal share in it as well.
Right.
But,
James, not to cut you off, because I know what you're about to say, Mary. Let me cut you off, James. I'm going to let you finish. But, you know, my friend at the National Enquirer who spoke to the neighbor who witnessed this, what you just said is 100% right. Rihanna did have a huge part into the escalation of this incident.
And what was that?
And no, she was grabbing his cell phone, and she was taunting him physically. She was taunting him. And you're right about that, Jamie. She did have an equal part in that. She was almost provoking Chris Brown physically, and she did swing on him.
Well, I would have swung on his ass too if he swung on me.
While you're driving?
Well, see, the thing is, everyone's
swinging on you.
No, but no one says what.
How did the neighbor see them if they were driving?
No, when they pulled off. When they pulled off.
In front of the house.
Yeah. Go ahead, James.
And, you know, sort of what came first, the chicken or the egg? We don't know. Actually, we do. At least I think I do. I have my own theory. Because if he's driving, I'm sure he's not going to take his hands off the wheel to just start wailing away on her. Right? And almost killing the both of them. Right.
Listen, let me tell you something.
You know,
can I say something? And I'll share something probably a little too personal, but I'll share it. I was riding in a truck with what is now an ex of mine. And this person turned around. We were arguing, and they turned around and backhanded me so hard that my glasses flew off my face and out the car window.
Okay.
So it's not like you can't still keep control of the car and be consistently hitting somebody sitting next to you.
Okay.
So what is it that you're saying?
I'm not disputing that.
But when you saw the pictures, it wasn't just one side of her face.
Right.
No, because he probably pulled over in front of the house and then really went crazy.
I believe that this was
okay. And you really think this hot-blooded Jamaican woman, who's, you know, obviously upset because she's finding texts from other women, didn't hit him first or didn't
Probably. Maybe she did. She's probably turned on by that. I mean, she sings about songs that she's turned on by.
JC, what's her insight on this?
And think about what it does to her career, again, and what it does, because a lot of women are saying they no longer have respect for her.
Right. Let me hear from JC. JC, what's your intake on, your intellect
input
on this, your input?
Well, regardless as to whether they get back together as a couple, they're good for each other for business.
Okay. Even though the fans are rejecting this?
They won't for long. They won't for long. They rejected Chris Brown. He just won Grammys. They rejected Chris Brown after this. I mean, after what he had done to her, I understand she may have provoked a fight, and regardless of how bad you provoke a fight, you don't choke someone out and leave them unconscious on the side of a road.
He didn't leave her unconscious. Where would that be?
Yes, he did.
That's what they said.
He left her unconscious. They were going to tag him with attempted murder.
Oh, I did not know that.
Oh, yes, he left her unconscious on the side of the road. He beat her up in the front seat of a Ferrari. He's, what, 6'2", 6'3"? She's not that tall, and she's kind of a thin, small girl. But he beat her mercilessly, in the front seat, and choked her and left her there.
Kind of makes you look at things a little bit differently, doesn't it?
No, I mean, you know.
No, it doesn't. So why is she going back to this man?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, listen. Hold on, JC. Let me ask you a question. Hold on. I got to commend my friend James. Let me tell you something. My friend, I have to say to you, my friend, that is what I call being intuitive. Because if it was that horrible, what the hell are you doing back in that man's life in any aspect? That's the big question. It's the $64,000 question, as they say. Because it calls into question the whole situation in the first place.
Again, if it was that horrible.
Yes. Attempted murder?
So now you take away from your ordeal. Obviously, it wasn't that horrible because you're going back.
Yes. Go ahead, JC. You finish.
And I lost some of what I was going to say. But, just to close it out, they've been at each other ever since the judge pulled them apart. I mean, they were forced with restraining orders against one another. No one asked for it. Nobody's management team ever asked for it. And they've been doing everything that they can ever since to, in some way, shape, or form, keep in touch. And now that she was the one that requested the lift in the restraining order.
But was she trying to protect him? Was she in love with him? Or was she, what was she trying to do?
Probably a combination of all.
More than likely, she's in love with him.
Career.
I mean, this is something that we see every single day, even though there are no children involved. And that's where you see it mostly at, where the women tend to stay with the men if there's children involved. But in this situation, no. There are children involved,
and that's the two of them. Because that's exactly what they are, is children.
Yeah, but I mean, outside of that, I mean, he did like what most artists do. As soon as he got shunned here, because if you remember, he was scheduled to do a Michael Jackson tribute, the next big thing that he was going to do after, and Jay-Z and Beyonce reportedly was going to refuse to go to the BET Awards had they had he performed. So he did the next best thing, and he took his act overseas.
Right.
And then you look at the fan base, and he's actually kind of switched his fan base completely, because he's not doing the hardcore R&B that he used to do. He's doing real candy pop right now. But on the same token, this is the same initial fan base, that still steps in the name of love to R. Kelly, despite seeing the video.
Right. And you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, but remember, when he showed up at the Today Show, when he did his Today Show concert, there were girls who were in the crowd who had signs that read, "Chris Brown could beat me all day." Or stuff like that. People were outraged by that. That girls were actually advocating being beaten by the guy. That's a little much.
It kind of shows you the society that we live in, the sex-driven society that we live in.
And if I can butt in and say for girls, women, whatever. I mean, you're kind of if you're. if you're brought up in that environment where you see abuse or you see things like that, it almost is.
Yeah, I'm with you, James. I'm sighing with you.
No,
James.
And I'm living proof of that. So I there's no way. I'm living proof of that. So I have
my mom was.
My mother do a test. Other people, you know, my mother was no slouch. Wow.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. I am so tired of hearing that. Okay, and I'm so tired of that being used as an excuse. Because,
we're talking about the woman that tend to stay.
From anyone who's actually been through it, but, you know, nowadays, it's not everyone who's been around abuse, and they're still, you know, offering themselves up like candy.
Like candy.
You know what, James? You know what I'm hearing? This is what I'm hearing, and mark my words. Folks, mark my words, okay? JC will tell you right now, he calls me up every time I'm right. He goes, I freaking hate you. You're right again. Do you know what is going to happen if Rihanna gets back together with Chris Brown? Do you know what they're going to cite? The first name that's going to come up?
Bobby and Whitney.
There you go.
Bobby and Whitney. There's going to be Tina Turner and Ike. There's going to be
it'll be Bobby and Whitney. I'm telling you, it's going to be, they're going to say that she doesn't know what she's doing. Look what happened to Whitney Houston. I'm tired.
No. You know what, Reese?
I'm still tired of that.
There's a huge difference. Whitney has never come out and said Bobby beat her.
She said that Bobby Brown spat on her on Oprah in 2009.
Well, I mean, there's a huge difference.
Spit on me, my man.
Morally, the way we take it, it's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah,
the worst thing you do is spit on somebody.
You might be able to punch me in my mouth, but you
know. No, there's something actually worse. I've actually thought about that. That's spitting in your hand and slapping you.
That's what I call a pimp smack.
Yeah, they'll be compared to Ike and Tina, but even so, and I think you're right too. They'll bring up Bobby and Whitney, but
now these jokers.
I think they're gonna get married. I think they're gonna end up married.
You know what? You said that. Mary just said that the two of them are gonna end up married. And trust me, mark my words. That's exactly. People are gonna compare them to Whitney and Bobby Brown.
Because it's such a tumultuous relationship right now. It's almost like they're probably on this roller coaster ride that they just can't get off, and they have to ride it to the end. And you know, hopefully it'll work out. Hopefully when they get off the roller coaster ride, life will be smooth and they'll be happy with it. But
Henry,
yeah,
and every other woman forgave him.
Thought the same thing. Every other
woman
said the same thing.
Go ahead, JC.
Women forgave him when he tweeted himself naked.
Yeah, you're right.
Because that's what
they'll be walking down the aisle.
They watched the dance moves, and then finally got to see what was under the curtains.
Well, you know, he's sort of been elevated because it's given him bad boy status.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's given him bad boy status. Before, he was, you know, sort of like the male equivalent of America's sweetheart.
Yeah,
he's bad boy status now. He's boy status before.
Whatever.
And let's not put all the impetus on Rihanna. Here's a woman who's had you arrested, all right? Almost destroyed your career.
Stop doing that.
What are you doing going back to her?
Exactly. Yeah, what's wrong with you, stupid?
What's wrong with you? Knowing now that she's got more power now. Because now, you look at her wrong.
Look how skinny she is. She can't cook.
I'm telling you, listen, if it gets any worse, you know what?
She might not be able to cook, JC, but she can probably whine her ass off.
Yeah, whatever.
And you know what? She's damn good at it.
Yeah, whatever. I just hope it doesn't escalate.
She took took that. She took that country bumpkin and turned him into a man. I bet you.
Whatever. I don't want them.
I've been where he's from. I used to live right by where he is
from. The best piece he's had since his third cousin.
Country. No, and you know what, JC? You're exactly right, because he's from is so backwoods country that you can't even understand what they're saying.
Oh, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we'll take a break when we come back. A man who I cannot stand, and I'm actually happy that he's in jail, Russell Rand, arrested in New Orleans, finally turned himself in. Of course, he's out on bond already, but I love the mugshot. He looks like a wanker.
Right where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays at 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question, which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative, rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun. Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, 7 to 10 p.m. weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life. In Congress, Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom, Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Come on, players, stop hating. Stop hating. Stop participating. Stop participating. Come on, twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Reese on the radio, it is the bottom of the hour. The bottom of the hour. You don't know what that technology, that terminology
means?
It's
the middle of the hour.
The bottom of the hour.
It's the middle, la media de la hora, aquí a las nueve y media.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me be the first to tell you, okay? I kind of have to deal with Mary and try to explain to her the lingo. She is reluctant. And
what lingo?
The radio lingo. And listen, I'm going to tell
you. I have my own lingo. I don't. That's
I know
your
you
radio lingo. That's what you do. You listen, I listen to you talk. I listen to. I've been watching Hannity. I've been watching.
That's television.
No, okay, wait. But it's media, right? And
I
listen
fair.
To Rush Limbaugh and, okay, whatever, right? I've been watching. What is her name? Grace?
Greta Van Susteren.
Greta Van Susteren. I've been listening to The O'Reilly Factor. I watch, it's like Fox News all the time, okay?
Right.
You all have the same rhetoric. You all share the same rhetoric. Like, those are things I analyze. I analyze things that they say, and I listen to what it is, the verbiage that they're using.
Are you
and
calling
I'm like,
me a fraud?
No. I'm not calling you a fraud. I'm just saying you all have the same rhetoric. I don't share that rhetoric. I know this is radio.
Stacey, don't even put yourself in this conversation.
Wait a minute.
Yet.
I'm not changing. I'm not changing. Plagiarist. I am. Oh, wow.
I'm so going to go after
Listen,
you, Stacey. Go ahead.
I'm not changing who I am or any of that to conform to the rhetoric that you all use in the experienced and established media or news reporting forum I'm not doing it. This is who I am. This is the verbiage that I will use. This is the rhetoric that I will use, and you will accept that or you will not.
So you're not going to follow radio format, even though I believe that that's what it is that keeps us consistent by following that particular format.
I believe people are going to listen to you based on whether they like your personality. If
I don't
they
give a
like
damn
the way
whether or not they like
across,
my personality.
But that's how you market.
Likeable. It's not about likeable. People are going to listen to me because they're interested in what it is that I have to say. Likeability? That's a whole different thing. I'm running for
likeability
nothing.
Likeability is doing a hell of a lot for Barack Obama.
We're not talking about that.
But it is.
But my point is,
but
I want you to follow.
Because if people didn't like him,
don't
his
move.
Ass would be
don't
losing.
Don't move.
The only reason
not
he is.
He's not,
I didn't
losing.
Say he was losing. I said if he was not likable and people did not like him, then he would be losing
Let's
right
get
now.
Off the whole Barack
his
Obama
likability, thing. But why not? I'm comparing you ratings, right? That's what everything is about. You win the presidency, it's election time.
All I said
it's,
was,
but,
I
mean,
asked
how
you,
does this not compare?
Don't go, no, you're going off in the deep end.
No, I'm not
yes,
going
you are.
I'm using your terminology with you, Reese. I'm trying to make
me.
You understand. I'm using your rhetoric, and I'm trying to make you understand where I'm coming from. I'm not
you're doing
by
a poor
any
job
means.
Here.
No, I beg to differ.
Listen to what I'm saying. What I said was, I do top of the hour, hold on, top of the hour, 9 o'clock, bottom of the hour, 9:30. That's all.
Bottom of the hour is like 10 minutes till 10.
No, bottom of the hour. There's a top of the hour. There's a bottom of the hour. It's just radio ready.
No, there's a top, there's a middle, and there's a bottom.
What the hell? There's no, you can't call
There's
it
no
a
middle
top.
In the hour.
There's no middle in the
That's
hour.
Why it's half past 9.
That
what
we
are you
call
talking
it the
about?
Bottom half.
No,
that's when the big hand half. Is at the bottom of the clock.
Thank you.
Down.
The reason why no. it's called the bottom of the hour.
Yeah.
whatever. That's okay, and that's fine. That's that's fine. I call it the half of the hour.
Oh, anyway.
Well, you can use half past the hour, but at the bottom is more radio.
Yes, that's
use half past after 10 o'clock at night when you're playing the booty music.
Oh my God! What? Wow. Boop boop. It's half past the hour. It's not bottom of the hour. It's half past hour. By the time
we've been debating this,
it may be bottom of the hour.
You can say half past the hour, okay? You can do that.
I will. I'll continue to do that.
Fine.
I will not conform to your rhetoric.
Quarter past the top of the hour.
That's when this conversation is going to be over. Anyway, so listen, Russell Brand is in the news. Many people may know. I don't know whether or not you heard it or not. A paparazzi took a picture, or so he claims, the paparazzi took a picture of him with a iPhone. Russell Brand is photographed snatching the iPhone from the paparazzi and then throwing it towards a building and smashing a window. Oddly enough, the reason why it gathered the attention of the New Orleans police is because the window that he threw the iPhone into was a law office.
Wow.
Talk about irony and bad luck.
What luck.
Deport him.
But now.
He looks like Jesus.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He looks like Jesus.
Jesus was a Negro. Shush.
He looks like Jesus on drugs.
I'm sure Jesus would be happy you said that.
I know.
But I'm serious. That's what now, he looks listen, like. Or Jesus is, on a little too much of that red wine.
Let me explain to you why I don't care that Russell Brand has arrested. By the way, that's his mugshot you're looking at.
Yeah,
Here's the reason why I don't care that he got arrested. This is the reason why I say, good for you, Russell Brand. I say, go F yourself. And I couldn't believe a girl who I actually liked.
That's what this is all about, folks. Here it comes. Here it comes. Listen up.
She divorced his ass. I've
seen
three now.
But we've had this conversation before, and he can't stand the fact that she would have even picked this wanker to be her husband.
Anyway, so she's already been soiled, so I no longer love her. Katie
she Pell. Kissed the girl.
She's already soiled. But anyway, this guy, Russell Brand. Let me give you a background of what kind of ass he is. And I would have used the, you know me. I'd have used the ass thing. But anyway, my point is, he's
what's
an ass.
Ass thing? What's the ass
A
thing?
Whole ass.
An asshole?
You're not supposed to say that. Thank you.
Boo-boo.
My point is that this guy, Russell Brand, who used to work for MTV, walked into the MTV studios dressed as Osama bin Laden.
He kind of looks like, I could see that from this photo.
He dressed up.
Isn't that weird that he could be, one minute I'm looking at him saying he could look like Jesus.
And another minute he looked like Osama, right.
And then in a moment I can be
but hold on,
I
have to finish the story.
Well, go ahead.
He dressed up and walked into the studios of MTV dressed as Osama bin Laden.
Right after 9/11.
The date was September 12th, 2001.
Yeah, it may have been
really
too soon.
But yeah,
and he ruined the movie Arthur.
He got fired from MTV, and then what was it like a year later? He was doing the MTV Awards.
That's correct. Yeah. And when he got on stage, then he went on to ostracize the Jonas Brothers because they signed a purity pledge and decided to be virgins. He got on the stage.
Lord! Oh, come on.
What is with you and the
purity pledge?
You know, I've never ever.
Why would you even advertise this? I never got that. You're the freaking Jonas Brothers. Who the hell wants you anyway?
Every teenage girl.
Yeah, you may want to look at him and gaze him through his eyes, but you're not really looking at the Jonas Brothers like, my man. Wow.
You can't tell that to their millions, 10 millions of female fans.
I didn't see it. Never did.
All the millions and millions of dollars in their pockets.
There was nothing about those boys that were sexy. I make my own money. I don't need no man.
There are mothers who wanted to do those boys.
Because they're sick.
Milk.
And it's forbidden.
So tell me, you didn't have like any feelings about the Beeb?
Yeah, come on, you didn't think
Justin Bieber? Listen,
I think you insulted her.
Wow, my man. Listen, let me tell you what my taste is. If we want to talk about celebrities, I'm talking about I like a grown man like Denzel Washington.
Yuck.
Mekhi Pfeiffer.
Yuck.
Whoa.
Who was the last one?
Mekhi Pfeiffer.
Okay. And who else?
Love him.
Mekhi Pfeiffer.
Yeah, love him.
Man looked like a burnt match.
Listen, my man may be dark skinned, but he has dark, beautiful skin. That skin, it's white skin, is like, it's perfection.
Dark.
Like Omar.
No, it's not.
Tay Diggs
is dark skin perfection.
Yeah, what about Tay Diggs?
No,
do you like Tay Diggs?
I don't like either one of them.
I don't like Tay Diggs. I mean, I'm a guy, and Tay Diggs is a good looking guy.
No, he's not.
Mekhi Pfeiffer is bumpy road ugly.
Listen, yeah. No, he's not.
You like an ugly dark.
No.
you like circus freak dark.
Hey!
Wow. Can we get the dark man on the line?
Hey, wait a minute.
Because I know.
I'm not. No. Here's my point.
And there ain't nothing wrong with it. The black and the berry.
Wait. You think Mekhi Pfeiffer is better looking than Tay Diggs?
Yes. Tay Diggs is fake. I mean, there's nothing about. There's nothing about Tay Diggs that I think is even remote.
That explains why you can't remember when you fell in love with hip hop.
Wait. Next. Hold on. Who's the other black guy who's on that show, Private Practice?
It's Tay Diggs.
Oh, is that Tay Diggs? Who's the other one? No.
No.
Who's the other one?
Tyreek.
Whatever his name is.
Who?
Tyreek.
Baby Boy.
Yeah, from Baby Boy.
Oh, hell no.
He's a good looking guy.
No, he's not.
Who got choked out by Holiday Heart?
He's not. I don't think he's good looking. I don't see it.
Okay, how about Spike Lee?
Hell no.
I don't know many black people who act.
Oh, wow.
I love Kobe Bryant. I love.
Oh, he's good looking.
He's good looking.
Craig Mack.
Pretty boy.
How about, wait,
so stupid.
Wait, JC. Hold on, JC said Craig Mack.
KRS-One. I mean, come on,
like,
no.
Wait a minute, you like KRS-One, that's all.
Oh.
Blaine. The front of his nose looks like a Volkswagen Beetle. A 72 Beetle. She like Flavor Flav kind of creamy.
Oh, my God, stop it.
How about Wesley Snipes? Did you like him?
Hell no.
Really?
No.
He's a Mekhi Pfeiffer ugly.
No, he is. Mekhi Pfeiffer is not ugly.
They can pass for brothers.
No, they could not pass for brothers. Not my book.
They look like they're from the same tribe.
You still never chimed in on Omar Epps.
Yeah, Omar
Epps. I don't think Omar Epps is sexy either.
You don't like those bug red eyes.
Yeah,
right?
I can't do it. They're all like almond shaped. You know who he has eyes like that, as a matter of fact? He has eyes like Jace. Remember, Jace had eyes just like that.
Jace and he had very, very similar eyes.
Like kind of almond shaped, but very big around the middle.
Like, almost
very.
Bulbous,
yeah. Jace, I mean, I hope if you're listening, I'm not going to, whatever.
Anyway,
or Derek, or
like
anything.
Like from Puss in Boots.
Well, okay.
Like
so,
Puss in Boots.
So you
like okay, Denzel Washington, Mekhi Pfeiffer, let's see, who else? Oh, my God.
You don't really have a long list of darkies.
I guess I don't.
Allen Greer.
David any other Wayans
brothers?
Listen,
I think that what's his name is sexy and
who's what that was what's his name?
Oh my God, what is his name?
I said the Wayans brothers. Marlon,
no,
Sean,
no.
Keenan?
Hell no.
Anyone in the
Kimberly Wayans?
That's the one.
That looked like Wanda.
Hold on.
Who's the guy who did what?
Played
Fox.
Can I think of his blame it on the alcohol.
Jamie Foxx?
I do like Jamie Foxx. As like crazy as that sounds, and I never found him really like sexy, but
how about Terry Crews?
Who is that?
Terry Crews is played Chris's dad in Everybody Hates Chris.
No.
Okay, that's not your type either. Okay.
No. Wasn't he in like Friday? What else was he in?
I don't know.
He was in Friday, wasn't he?
One of the Friday movies.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
No.
Gary Coleman.
I'm not into Gary Coleman. I kept him around for, you know, particular things.
So you're not. I mean, you have a very limited group of.
How do we get on this subject?
I don't know.
I don't know, but whatever.
Actually, before we move on to anything else, and since we've already digressed enough, I wanted to ask a question on what constitutes entertainment. I mean, does it have to be, like, entertainers or things that entertain us or what? Or just, you know, because there was something I wanted to get your opinion about.
Well,
okay,
talk about
so
it,
this is what we'll do. Okay, so you said what constitutes as entertainment. Now, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a two-minute break. Does that mean that I get to say what isn't entertainment?
Hazel Jones is entertainment. Isn't that her name? Hazel Jones? Hazel something? The one with two...
Well, I wanted to know, see, because it's sort of like in court TV and stuff. But I wanted to know if you heard about the guy who's in court now who actually adopted his girlfriend so he could save his money.
We talked about it this morning.
You
I was on
what?
My way
we
to
did
work.
Talk
Reason
about
I
that.
Talk
you know what?
This.
Let's do that when we come back because that's weird. She's testifying for her daddy who she sleeps with. Very weird.
Just like Whitney adopted her son-in-law.
And is that an incestuous relationship?
It might be. We'll take a break. We'll be right
Woody
back.
Woody Allen syndrome.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the radio, and I know you've got an opinion, so give yours. The number 347-308-8701. 347-308-8701, right here on Reese on the radio.
Yes, love hurts. It can hurt emotionally, but more important, it can also hurt you physically. It can hurt you in a way which nobody who owns a hot tub and lives in California can afford to be unaware of. Yes, I'm talking about California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. This painful, incurable disease can make an enjoyable soak in a hot tub with family, friends, and dog into a literally unforgettable experience. If you catch California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, not only will you walk around feeling like you're about to pass a twisted sardine can lid, you'll also smell like a pile of burning tractor tires. So don't jump out of the frying pan and into the hot tub, because if you get California hot tub rectal gonorrhea, it'll really burn your ass.
This has been a public service message brought to you by the Citizens Against CHTRG Foundation. California hot tub rectal gonorrhea. We're not going to take it sitting down.
Hello, Lois. This is Mike. I'm the personnel director here at your husband's work.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you?
Fine.
Lois, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Well, I have some bad news.
What do you mean, bad news? Bob's okay, isn't he?
Well, actually, that's why I called to talk to you. It's about Bob, and I know that he's been an employee here for a very long time, but I'm afraid we're going to have to let Bob go.
What do you mean? Wait, that's not very fair. He's been very loyal to you.
Look, I can understand you feeling that way.
You don't understand. We just had a baby.
No, I understand that.
This is a very hard time to do this kind of a thing.
Yes, it is, but Bob has kind of forced our hand on this.
Why are you firing him?
We caught him doing his secretary on his office desk.
Oh, that son of a bitch!
Look, I know you're upset.
Upset is not the word. That stupid, rotten son of a bitch. I can't believe this.
He's on his way home right now, and he's going to need your support.
I'm going to change the locks on the door. I'm throwing his shit outside on the front lawn. He can just have it all. I'm not even going to be here when he gets back. And now, I don't feel so bad about his brother.
Lois.
It's a joke. Your husband put us up. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
This is Stephen Hawking. And when I'm not solving the mysteries of the world, I listen to Reese on the radio on dogtalkradio.com.
It's Reese on the radio, and we are back on the air. 11 minutes to the top of the hour, and we are done and almost out of here. Tomorrow, the big announcement. I don't know how big it's going to be. It may not be much of nothing.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's because Mary knows what it is.
That's because
Yeah, see?
I didn't force him. I coerced him.
I verbally
assaulted him. Excuse me. Can I have my microphone, my headphones? Thank you.
I'm sorry.
At about 9 a.m. this morning, I was running about 25 minutes late to work because traffic was horrendous. And I called Reese to see what was going on in the news. Had he heard anything? Was there anything? Whatever. And I wanted to know what this announcement was. So he told me. So all I have to say is, it's exciting.
So you know now, don't say a goddamn word. How about that?
I said it's exciting.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, hey, guys, just to get back into a story that we talked about earlier since the end of the show, Whitney Houston's daughter, Bobby Christina, isn't fazed by her granny's accusation she's committing incest by hooking up with her adopted brother. Telling friends.
Why did they keep calling him her adopted brother?
Even though
he
wasn't adopted, I know. Anyway, telling friends she's going to do what she wants no matter what. Sources close to Bobby Christina tell TMZ the 19-year-old finally fessed up to her close buddies that she and 22-year-old Nick Gordon are dating 10 years after Whitney unofficially adopted the boy because he was having problems at home. TMZ, of course, broke the story. Bobby's grandmother, Sissy Houston, saw the video they posted showing Bobby and Nick holding hands and kissing on a lunch run in Atlanta this week, and told a close friend what Bobby and Nick are doing is incestuous. That's according to what Sissy Houston said. But Bobby couldn't care less, telling friends she doesn't give a damn about what Sissy thinks about her controversial relationship. And because Nick's not her blood brother, she definitely doesn't consider it incest. As one source put it, Bobby can't please everyone. She's going to please herself by doing what she wants to do for once. As for the maybe engagement ring on Bobby's finger, we're told she's been mum on what it means. But cryptically told friends, she and Nick are planning a trip to Vegas in the near future.
This is what Bobby Christina said. Grams, I'm Audi 5000, G.
Well, this brings much like what it is that you just said earlier, that why doesn't she just up and say, Grandma?
She scratched the record for it. Chicka, 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 chicka. Peace out, Grams.
Chicka, chicka, chicka.
Yeah.
This is a pure mess. Anyway. So
apparently, James got a question for you.
What is the question?
Huh?
What's the question, JC?
James got the question.
Okay, what is it, James?
We were talking while we were off the air, and I said, you never did chime in on Seal.
No. Hail to the no.
Wow,
no.
You went real deep on the ugly meter.
No. He probably would be nice looking if he had, you know, if he could get some plastic surgery, but.
It's a tribal thing with him. He's not going to get plastic
surgery. Actually, it's not. But I went online. No. Actually, the scars are from a form of lupus.
Oh, he has lupus? That's horrible. You know what? There's not a lot of men that have lupus. That's horrible. Isn't he? He's from Africa, isn't he?
Yeah,
Yes.
And lupus is not prominent in men. It's very prominent in Black and Jewish women. Wow, it's probably bad.
Anyway, let me just make this last story before we get off the air. Are you guys familiar with the show Luck, this HBO show that involves horse racing?
You didn't think that lupus was, like,
no.
more interesting to talk
about? No, I want to talk about this story. I want to talk about this story. You guys familiar with it? Anybody
no.
watched it or no?
No.
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, I watched it. It's an HBO starring Nick Nolte, Dustin Hoffman. It's got a couple of other actors on it. But anyway, it's supposed to be, it was this big, huge show that everybody was, you know, talking about on HBO. So three horses have died on the set of the show while filming. The horses that they use are retired race horses. So they're not using thoroughbreds or, like, you know,
current
racers.
Well, what are they doing?
Races.
Are they racing them?
No. Yes, they're racing them. In fact, again, it's...
Like, what? Nick... Who's in... Nick Nolte. And
Dustin Hoffman.
I mean, who... Are they the jockeys?
No.
Well, Dustin Hoffman could be.
Could
be old age.
I would be surprised if we were talking about the horses and not them.
Well, no, they're not. Are they the jockeys is a great question. Are they the jockeys is a great question. No, they're not. But, you know, you bring up a valid point. But, no, the deal is... No, the deal is that the director of this TV
series... They're obviously more retired than the horses now.
Well, yeah, but listen, here's the thing. The director of the TV show on HBO, Luck, is Michael Mann. And you guys know Michael Mann because he's not only the creator and director of the famed 80s TV show Miami Vice, but he also directed Heat with Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, Al Pacino, which is a very, very
great,
famed
great,
gangster
It was
film.
A great movie.
Right.
It was great.
Now,
Miami Vice, great, I watched it as a kid, but if you really look back at it now, it's like...
It's kind of hokey.
Really watch this?
But Michael Mann has been, you know, he got most of his credit for that, but what brought him back from the dead, so to speak, with the exception of the movie Manhunter, if anybody remembers the Hannibal Lecter series, Manhunter, which was the first film, was directed by Michael
Loved
Mann.
It.
And so Michael Mann's a very famed director. Michael Mann is coming forward and saying that the reason why the show was canceled was because of the reporting of these horse incidents by the gossip site TMZ.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's
they wield power.
Die? I mean, why are they dying?
Well, the fact that the horses are being used on... In fact, here's one of the stories and what makes it so complicated. They said during one of the shooting days... One of the horses died while they were shooting. When the horse died, they just continued shooting the scene. And
well,
so they're
I
saying
mean,
that they've been insensitive to animals. And
well, what the... I'm sorry. Whoa.
What was the horse doing in the scene when they died? That's what I want to know.
The horse died during the filming of the scene, but they still continued to film the scene, not paying attention. Remember,
listen, the horse was dead.
No, but remember the old adage where they say no animals were harmed during... Right, no animals were harmed during the filming of this. They can't really stand by that if the horse dies during production.
But did the horse die of natural
Yeah, but they can't stand by it. The show must go on.
Right, exactly. The show must go on. But again, you're absolutely right, Jerry.
And they obviously have.
But
or
remember,
no horse survived.
I'm sure it was because,
cheating?
You know,
they
had to keep running these horses. Obviously, the horses were retired for a reason. They were
right. Exactly.
Okay,
they're using retired.
Are they running autopsies on these horses?
Well,
it's
apparent that the horses who are retired can't deal with the rigorous schedule, and that's what it is that they're having a problem with. So the
right.
show is
sometimes you got to shoot those scenes over and over again.
Why are they retired
right.
horses? They can't afford.
No, because
they
can't
afford...
You no one's going to take their $2 million thoroughbred and put them in a TV series and then run them into Preakness. It's never going
to
happen.
Well, you
there
don't.
There were Japanese horses, and they wanted more money
because you get enough money from that TV show to give you to
well,
give
Well, you
them
would think that, but they're not getting paid.
Horse.
They're probably getting paid scale. Nobody's going to.
Hey, Mary.
What?
Henry Kelly, Shaka Zulu, real quick.
What?
The guy who plays Shaka Zulu.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Everybody's interested.
That doesn't even sound attractive.
Anybody, everybody's now interested in who Mary would date. Let's get out of here. We love you. For Mary, Mary, why you bugging? For JC, the producer, and of course the Kool-Aid man, James Montgomery. Get out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, Ice Cube.
Ice Cube. Do you like him?
I love Ice Cube.
We're out of here. Bye.